morning, and I would like to welcome everyone to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Those listening in via radio this morning, we would like you to know that our flowers are sponsored by Jim and Joyce Fouts in honor of their wedding anniversary, and our radio this morning is sponsored by Kathy and Mark Smallwood in honor of Jack Murphy's birthday. This week, we have birthdays and anniversaries. On the 13th is Glenda Burton's birthday, as well as Robert and Susan Spicer's anniversary. Patrick Jack Murphy's birthday is on the 15th, and Parker Stewart's birthday is on the 16th. We've got a lot of them this week. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and you would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning, you will hear a scripture from Romans 12, verse 1. Then you will hear the sermon given by our guest pastor, Gary Dyer, entitled Living Sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The word of God to the people of God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. I'm Gary W. Dyer. I've been a school bus driver, a songbook passer outer, a drummer years ago in church. And an evangelist, a pastor of the church, and then God sent me back to the street. I thought, well, once you get to be a pastor, you're at the top, I thought. And God said, after a while, you're going back to the street where I brought you from. Could you please stand? Almighty God, precious Father, we're just honored to stand before you today. To the creator of heaven and earth, God, we bless you this morning. Bless your name. Bless your people. Bless your pastor here today. Bless those in attendance, Father. But let us be a blessing to you, God. Somehow, some way, God, we ask for souls. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, when she read that, he said, I beseech you, brothers, I'm appealing to you. Welcome to the radio audience, but I'm appealing to you today. The Lord is saying, I'm crying out to you today. I'm asking you, I'm seeking you, I'm asking you today. He said, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now focus in on living. He didn't say as a dying sacrifice. He said, a living sacrifice. Now, I'm excited today. Now, don't get down on me because I'm used to a noisy congregation. Amen. And if it gets too quiet, I was in the library and they kept going, shh. I said, what? So anyway, when I got saved, it was not a quiet affair. When I was a little boy, I was bashful and backward, and my mama would have to come to school and say, why won't you talk? And I didn't know. I was inward. I couldn't get it out. Whatever was in there would not come out. And then, unfortunately, Uncle Sam taught me everything that should come out, but it was a little bit of wrong way. Is anybody with me? So when you've got an inward, backward little boy and you teach him war, my mother used to say, Gary, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, Mama. But I said, you don't give a young man a rifle and hand grenades and all that other stuff and send him off to another country. Now listen to this. Now don't get down on me. You can get excited. When I was a little boy, Mama would be at the door. You got to be in by 11 o'clock. There's a curfew. My mom would be at the door. 11 o'clock. You got to be in there. 18 years old. Then at 18, they send me over there and you stay out all night long. Carry a rifle. Throw some hand grenades. Do whatever you want. Get killed if you can make it through. And I was thinking, Mama, am I going anywhere with that? So I presented my body as a living sacrifice to the country. And I wasn't willing to give it up, but I was put in a place that I might have to. But then God came along in 1978. Come on, somebody get with me. December the 23rd, 1978, I leaped to my feet and hollered, "This is it." In the book of Joel, it said, "This is that that was spoken by the prophet." The Holy Ghost power of God that nobody ever told me that I could invite him in. I thought, he's up there. I'll see him someday. Maybe he'll look down here at me sometime. Nobody ever said, "Gary, you can invite the Spirit of God inside of you." So I'm doing that today. Is anybody with me? You can say amen. It's all right. You can say hallelujah. You won't offend God. Because the Bible said he's coming back after you in a shout. Did it say that? I did this in school. Got big shoulders. He's coming back in a shout. Amen. And the living sacrifice is, I was cleaning the outside this morning, brushing my teeth, searching for my parcel. The cat had knocked it into the floor. I crawled around on my hands and knees. I said, I can't show up today without that little parcel. People are going to say, that cat's got a hole in his face. Is it all right if I talk that way? If you're looking for a professional, you'll have to go to an entertainment center somewhere. But, amen. God saved my soul on the Vietnam battlefield. He brought me off of there. And then he filled me with his presence inside and radically changed my life. What does the Spirit of God do? He takes away alcohol and smoking and cussing and fighting and wrecking your car and making your mother cry. Mama used to cry when I'd come in when I'd be black. I said, I won the fight. Got a broken nose and a broken hand, but Mama, I won the fight. Duh. But God, I hope I can get this out today. I told you I'd give you one word. Did I tell somebody that?
You told me, Pastor.
One word that should radically transform Christian people. God gave it to me about 3 years ago or so when we combined with another church that had lost their building. And they wanted to come and be with us. We prayed about it, and the elders, and they're our elders, and we prayed, and it looked like a good fit, and it was. But then God spoke to me. He said, here's the word to give them. Family. Did that resonate? When I die, I'll be in the family of God. You can write that down. If the Christian world would get a hold of this and say, I'm family. Because we've got camps all around Seymour that are meeting together today that might not let me into their building. And we're a part of the family of God. Now that might offend somebody, but when I show up before the Lord, he's going to say, welcome in your family. Is this making sense? Yeah, because when you come knocking on the door, they always say, who is it? It's a thief. You ain't coming in. Does this make sense? John 10:10 said the thief, this is what's wrong with America in our leadership everywhere. And it's even crept into the church. John 10:10 said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Is that happening today? But then Christ said, but I come to give you, lock and load, life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. He gave me life more abundantly. I could smile now. Vietnam don't hurt like it used to. It don't tear at me. It don't want to make me blow my brains out or drink myself to death. So many brothers have given their lives on that altar of foolishness, not knowing how to get healed. But I said, if you get filled with the Spirit of God, you become family. I hope you hear that on the radio. Family. I will die for the family of God if come need to be. I will not die for Pentecostal, which I was spirit-filled in. No way. That won't get me there. But the Word says I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice to Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. Why would you say that? Boy, I love those windows. Those are beautiful. I wish the radio audience could see these windows. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. You know, I researched all 12 disciples and I probably don't have time to read them. I've got it wrote down how each one of them gave their life. Crucified upside down. Boiled in oil. Beheaded. Stranded on an island. For the love of Jesus Christ, because they're the family. Wow, I'm getting excited now. I feel that inside of me. We're family. When I went to war, they put me in the infantry. They said, Gary, you're the best there is. It's infantry. Don't get mad at me. But you're the best there is. Well, they sent me out there with a rifle and hand grenades and all that other stuff. But outside there, when the fight began, I found out I needed the Air Force. We have an Air Force here. I needed the Air Force. I needed the Navy, 16-inch guns. I needed the cavalry with the tanks and the APCs, and I needed the artillery crews and the mortar crews. Do you see what I'm saying? I needed the whole family. I'm getting a little bit loud, ain't I? I needed the whole family to fight that war. This is what God is saying here. Hey, you'll need the whole family to fight this war. I need you. I need you. I needed her this morning. Because I don't do bullets in the church. We have testimonies and stuff like that. But I get uncomfortable with it. Where am I at? My mother was Methodist. She said, now, Gary, on the doxology, then you're up. I said, okay. Thank you, Jesus. But I love you guys. I love those people out there. We just love folks because we're family. And if they grab that word, he said that I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy. I tried to clean the outside today. I brushed my teeth and washed and shampooed, tried to clean. But I had to have something to clean up the inside. Is anybody with me? And the only thing that could do that was the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The people say, why are you so loud and excited? If you'd have been like I've been and you got saved, you'd be loud too. I wasn't supposed to move. If you've been stuck in a bar stool. He asked me if I wanted to. I said, no, I'll stand still. I'll hold on. Holding on to Jesus. Yeah. Isn't it good? You know, it's okay to laugh. It's all right because God's up there looking at us. And he's not got to, well, I'm not your head. That's not God. I think I've made God sad at times. And I think I've made him happy at times. Because in Nehemiah 8 and 10 it said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Pleasing God, Brother Rick, is my strength. I'm not telling you I'm good at it, but I sure am working at it. And there's two things that are helping me stay in line. That is God Almighty and my wife. Is it all right to mention that? She may be listening. I don't know. She's so dedicated to her class, she wouldn't leave her Sunday school class because she doesn't have a replacement. She does not have a replacement. Sign up for something. Take a banner somewhere. Sign up. Sign up. Do something. Somebody said, well, what do you do? Well, I do some things that people thought I was crazy. God told me to stand on the bridge one time with a sign that said, Jesus loves you. He said, paint it white in red letters, Jesus loves you. And stand over 65 on that bridge. I said, God, if I do that, they'll think I'm crazy. They did. I give an argument. I said, God, if I do that, they'll call the cops. They did. Why are you here? I said, God told me to come here. Aren't you in church? I said, we were meeting at church at 3 p.m. then. I said, no, we meet at 3 today. They were trying to get me off the bridge. But the simple sign said, Jesus loves you. As a little boy in the Church of Christ, sitting on a stool, I don't remember her name, but she got down and looked at me. She said, Jesus loves you. I'm 73. I still remember that lady. She's probably in heaven dancing around there. Said, I told him. I told him, Lord. Took him a while to get it, but I told him. Isn't it good? As a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God. Now, King James Version says, which is your reasonable service? It's reasonable just to be here today. I thought, wow. Now God filled me with the Holy Ghost and I went to the Pentecostal church and I shouted and praised the Lord, went home and had milk and a Twinkie. And I loved it. Don't get mad at me. I love you guys. But the whole gist of it was, when God filled me with His Spirit, if you read in John, He said it's a promise, and it's a promise so that you'll be a witness in Seymour, Jackson County, Indiana, Kentucky, wherever you send me. I retired from Cummins and went from $75,000 a year down to $24,000 a year. And I said, boy, that's a reduction, God, because He told me to go. A reduction. And as soon as I left Cummins, He sent me to Mexico for 5 years, the Philippines for five times. He had been to Africa twice, and I've been back to Vietnam twice since the war. If that don't make somebody shout. Your reasonable service, Gary. I said, I'll never go back to Vietnam. I used the word H-E-L-L-H-O, pardon my language, and I'll never fly again, because the infantry, you were flying in helicopters and they were shooting them down, boom, boom, boom. I said, I'll never fly again, and I'll never go back there. And God says, well, you just wait. Romans 12 and 11 says, I have a plan for you, Gary, and it's a good plan, and I'm thinking good about you. What? So 10 years later, God saved me. And guess what He said? I begin to feel unctions. The Bible has an unction in it. You know that? In Kentucky, they call it a hankering. Mm-hmm. Grandma said, I got a hankering to go there. Well, people said, what's a hankering? I said, it's an unction. You got an unction to do what God's telling you to do. Wow. So I thought, I can go back and pass out Bibles in Vietnam. Maybe I could fly again. Didn't hear nothing, but something was happening. Is anybody with me? I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. He could have picked anybody. It didn't matter what church I went to. He picked somebody that would build a boat. He picked somebody that would get on a plane again. Come on, are you with me today? Have you said, God, I'll never do that? Get ready. Get ready. If you're hungry, you'll search out the steakhouse. My boy cooked lamb burgers yesterday. Had it ground up like hamburger. However he cooked them, if you had one now, you'd want it. Lamb burgers. I said, I'm eating Jesus' food. And it was good. Glory to God. But nothing is as good as the Spirit of God. Nothing. One day I was in prayer, and suddenly I felt the presence of God. Now, when you feel the manifested presence of God, I couldn't move, I couldn't talk. All I could do was a tear run down my eye. Is anybody with me? I don't know if you've been there, but a tear ran down my eye, and I heard this word. Do you think you're the only one going to be saved? See, I thought that. Again, he said, do you think you're the only one going to be saved? There's people out there thinking that because of your name. It's the name of Jesus. Don't get mad at me. Y'all looking at me like, where's he going with that? I'm trying to get a point, but we're family. If you write that down, remember that you're family. Cummins, 34 and a half years, I became family. He said, you're family, you're the Cummins family. He didn't say you're old Gary on 7531. He said, you're Cummins family. I said, okay. My dad worked there, my uncle worked there. The family of God, glory to God. And then the Lord said, get up and take a look around. And after a while, the Spirit released me, and I got up out of that darkened room, dried the tears of my eyes. I didn't leave that room saying, I'm not going to be that religion anymore. I just left, and something was, I wish I could move. Something was different. Come on, when God touches you, something happens. You go from curmudgeon to an excitement that people want to be around. You go from an alcoholic to everybody say, I love that guy. You go from a thief to everybody trusts you. The prostitute gets saved, and she might become the first lady of the church. You say that's impossible. Well, Luke 1 and 37 said, for with God nothing is impossible. Is it all right if I get a little loud? Can you hear me out there? I'm used to somebody hollering, amen. It's all right to holler that. God's looking. Thank you, Jesus. You say, is he really listening? Yes. Because at 19 years old on a Vietnam battlefield, I cried out as we were being overrun. I said, God, I don't want to die in this H-E-L-L hole. Boom. He changed the atmosphere on the battlefield in 1968. I wasn't spirit-filled, but my mother taught me to pray 8:30 every night. My sister's here, and she said, come on, boy. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If that offends somebody, I don't care. But she put a seed in there. That in that foxhole, when those mortars would be dropping around, one hit real close, I said, oh God, don't let one hit this hole. Not a one ever hit the hole. Somebody ought to shout, hallelujah. Woo! They hit some other holes, but they never hit mine. I wasn't the best soldier. In between the battles, I might be drinking a little bit and cussing a little bit because I was scared to death. I was afraid. I drank for liquid courage, we called it. Thank you, God. Not knowing all the time that the Lord was with me. With me. He saved me to be here today to tell you that we're family. My body is a living sacrifice to the King of Kings. I'm not perfect. I have a lot of stuff going on. But I want to tell you I labored for about 3 weeks. Like Daniel, I prayed. I had a situation on me that was so heavy, I would sit up in bed at 2:30 and cry. I said, God, I don't see an answer. I can't hear from you. What is going on? I got to have an answer. I don't know what to do. Still didn't hear a word. Don't give up. Daniel prayed 3 times a day for 21 days, and suddenly the angel of the Lord showed up. You can read it in the book of Daniel. When the angel of the Lord showed up, he went, oh, and fell like a dead man. When it got down to where they called me on the phone and said, we have to have the answer today. I had none. They said, we need this now. And I'm going, and I cried. Not on the phone, but I cried. I said, God, I'm supposed to be a man of God and I'm not hearing. What do I do? And the telephone rang. Boy, I'm going to move a little bit. Whew, I got to shake it off. The telephone rings. Are you ready? And a Christian friend of mine said, I have an answer for you. Meet me at my office. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Goes to a different building than I do. Guess what? God's coming back after you. Is he coming back? This building's staying. I know you know that, but this building ain't going nowhere. It's staying here. I'm going to get down a little bit so I can see everybody. When Jesus comes back, who's he coming after? Probably won't even take this JCPenney jacket either. He's coming back. I met the man at his office. He said, before I left the room, God told me what you needed. And it was exactly what I needed. Exactly what I needed. But it took 21 days. Don't give up. 21. Is this on? 21 days. Radio audience, 21 days, and the answer came, and it was settled in the name of Jesus. I went out of there crying, cried in my truck, cried driving down the road. I said, thank you, God. See, he already had the answer for Daniel. The angel of the Lord said, I just had to do a little fighting before I got here. He told Daniel, he said, I heard your prayer from the first day you prayed it, from the very first day you were sick. I knew it. But I had to do a little fight to get here. I had to do a little fight to get out of Vietnam, but God brought me out of there. Is anybody with me? Hallelujah. And when they picked me up in that plane and flew me out of Vietnam, it was infantry and cav and artillery guys. It was the whole family of God that got onto that plane and flew out of there. Now, some of those guys probably, I don't know what happened to them, but we were not in good shape. We were in bad shape. No cool down periods, no rest periods. Just go home, put your little tent up, and be stupid. But now my boys went to Iraq. They come home today. They welcome them home. They love them. They kind to them. They whatever they need, they need. And I'm so thankful for that today. But I present my body as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is His good will. And it's just a reasonable, brothers and sisters, service. Reasonable. Being here today is just reasonable, and it's a part of it. Your vacation Bible school is important. Your prayers are important. Your prayers for your pastor is important, which should be every day. Lord, protect her, you know, from the forces that He said, no weapon, Isaiah 54:17, you'll hear me say it every day, lock and load. No weapon formed against Pastor Angel shall prosper. That ought to be a prayer. And any tongue that rises up against her, the Lord shall condemn. This is the heritage of Pastor Angel today. Hallelujah. I say that prayer every day. We're closing in on the radio audience. Why do you say it every day? Well, serving God, I ended up in St. Vincent's Hospital for 5 days. They said, your heart's bad and there's blockage, there's damage, something's going on the inside. I said, it can't be, I'm spirit-filled. They had me hooked up, jerk your socks off so fast, you didn't even know you had them on. My wife walks in, thank God for you women that are spirit-filled. She walks in and said, Doctor, I want to know what's going on. He's pulled down his mask. We're getting ready to go in. There's blockage and damage, we believe. He puts up his mask and leaves the room. She looks at me and she said, whose report are you going to believe? Tears in her eyes. Isaiah 53. Whose report are you going to believe? I said, well, the Lord, of course. She said, good, now we can pray. Marine Corps tough. She said, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against my husband shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up against him shall be condemned. And guess what? They went up through that groin and up through there, and he comes in. He said, I don't understand, Mr. Dyer. I can't find anything. There's no blockage. There's no damage. I can't find anything. He said, I don't understand. I said, let me tell you, God answered prayer exactly the way we prayed it. Everybody grab that. God answered prayer exactly the way we prayed it. Thank God for a wife. As we're closing in on the last 3 minutes of the radio, I could go another hour, but I know you're getting bored with that. Thank God, radio audience. A family of God. I hope you hear that today, radio audience. Bless you and keep you. May God bless you today. Hallelujah. Realizing that we're family. It's all right to be Methodist. It's all right to be Baptist. But we got to be family. I love you guys. I was at Valonia Baptist last Sunday. You were? It's a Pentecostal at a Baptist church? That's what God's doing. Who do you think you are? That's what God told me. Who do you think you are? I got this. Have you got this today? I hope I haven't offended you, and if you did, come and see me after the service. But I'm telling you, God is alive and well and wants to strengthen everybody. The joy of the Lord. Give yourself to Him as a reasonable sacrifice. Woo! Hallelujah. And I stood on that bridge for quite a few days. Police visited me all the time. What are you doing here? Before it closes, let me tell you, one policeman parked way down the road there on 65, a state trooper, and I said, God, there he is. I got my little sign, and he sat down there for a long time. And when he came up and he pulled up onto the bridge, he said, hey, what did you do with the white light you had around that sign? I said, I didn't have any white lights. He said, yes, you did. I saw them. Now, come on, somebody. You say, I don't believe in miracles. Now the radio audience is ready to leave us. Maybe you could hold on 10 more minutes. They're probably going, oh man, hallelujah. Well, may the Lord bless our radio audience. I'm just about done, but I pray over you guys out there listening. If you can't get out, may God bless you. May He send a healing to you. May every need be met as He said He would to all the radio audiences listening in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Got that in the last minute. Can you see God going and say, okay, Gary, you just got 3 more minutes, Gary. I got my watch on. You know, God has a Rolex probably. He's going, well, wait a minute. Time is in heaven. Did you know that? Because the Bible said that when you read it, he said there'll be a space in heaven of about a half an hour when the Lord gets ready to come back. Because it's going to go, the angels are going to go, is this it? In heaven, 30 minutes of about a half an hour that is grouping up. Can you hear it? It's like them Egyptians when they were going to the Red Sea and that water's on every side and it's thundering. We're going to get there, we're going to get there, we're going to get there. They didn't make it. I know they've closed out, but listen, I got a little bit more. Is that all right? Is it all right? Can you give me just a... Yeah. Verse 2 said, and be not conformed to this world. Now, I was looking at that word conformed. Con is what they used to call people in jail. Cons. And formed. Amen. Does that mean like deceived into being like the world? Being formed like the world? I mean, is the world telling you it's all right to... Are they doing that today? You don't need church. Let's just shut down the churches. No more hugging. Do you know why I did jail ministry? I'm off the radio now so they can, I can say this. I did jail ministry here in the county. And the guy's not there now, but he started a new thing at the jail. I don't want no hugging. Well, some of the prisoners felt so good they got touched by God, they want to hug you. I said, I'm sorry, there's no more hugging or they'd throw me out. No more laying hands on. We laid hands on them to pray for them. No more of that. And they started making little rules even before this COVID stuff come on. Oh, you can't breathe in here. Hold your breath. See, they're trying to get you to shut up. Is anybody with me? They want the Christian to shut up. And the more they holler, shut up, the louder I get. I don't believe that, brother. Well, look in the Bible. When the blind guys was along the road, they said, Jesus is coming by. They got louder. Son of David, have mercy on us. Shut up. You know what they did? Son of David, they got louder. Jesus knew they were there. He said, what do you want? What do you want? Am I with anybody? What do you want? I want to get my sight back. And he said, receive your sight. The faith that you have will make you whole. That makes sense. Be not conformed to this world. Gary can't act like the world anymore. I probably do sometimes, but I try not to. I saw a cuss word on a truck coming over here, and I thought, why does he have that on the back window that everybody can see? Nasty word. I think it's one of the nastiest words you can say. This is a blank Ford. I said, why do you have to put that out there for the whole world to see your nastiness? I don't want to be conformed like that. Somebody said, well, you're wearing a little cross. Who do you think you are? It was a gift. It's from Jerusalem. That's why I wear it. Somebody give it to me. It's from Israel. I said, and it's got a little dirt. When you get up there real close, there's a little circle thing. It's got a little dirt from Jerusalem. Ha ha ha. Well, what's with that? Well, guess where Jesus was at? Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Walking and healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. I'm going to close real quick. I know you got certain time. Did Jesus ever stop and ask them who they were? What church you go to? Oh, I ain't praying for you. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it all right? Hallelujah. Yep. I go to the hospital. I never ask them, what church are you? Oh, I can't pray for you. Ooh. No, they said, would you pray for me? I said, yes. It doesn't matter. If you love Jesus, hallelujah. He's getting me out of here. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can I renew my mind? By reading the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By reading the Word, by communication, that's the most important thing that a person can have is communication with Christ. God, it's me again, Gary W. Dyer, standing in the need of prayer. Somebody bought me the t-shirt one day. I heard it so much, I bought you a t-shirt. It's me again, Lord. Gary W. Dyer, standing in the need of prayer. I know the kids are getting fussy, and I got a whole lot more, but the word I said I would give you is family. Does that make any sense?
It does.
If you see me on the road, wave at me. Don't say, well, there goes Gary. Just wave. Say, hey, remember me? I was over at Angel's house. Hallelujah. We're family. Is that right?
Yes.
Family. 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 Because we're going to, if we make it to heaven, and if you make it to heaven, we're all going to be together. We're going to pray for this little lady here in a minute. Is that all right? In fact, we're going to lay hands on her. The Bible said, let the elders of the church, let them come and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Recover. I'm big with that. Recovery. God is a recoverer. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to finish with that. And I hope I've said something that God has given me that will bless you today. That it's just reasonable for you to go out and love on other people. Even the nasty people. Mama said, they're nasty, Gary. One time she said, they're heathens. I was a little boy. I said, what's a heathen, Mama? She said, they're nasty. I had to sling it because we're from Kentucky, you know. Promised land. But anyway, I'm going to finish out. And when it's time, I want to pray for you. Is that all right? And if anybody wants to help me, we can go down there and your sisters, the elders, whoever, we can pray together. Because the Bible said we're two or three are gathered together in His name. He's right in the middle. Does that make sense? That fella got the best watermelons going back there. Man, I'll tell you, glory to God. He gave me a free watermelon. I tried to pay. Nope. Take that watermelon. I always said them two are the nicest guys I think I've ever met. They're just smooth as glass. I don't know. Y'all nice. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Do you want
to? All righty. Well.